During the summer, I love to keep Fiji water on hand to keep me and my family hydrated and refreshed. It really is sourced from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji water collects in a sustainable ancient aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. As the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium water bottle brands, giving Fiji water its soft, smooth taste. Unlike some other premium bottled waters, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring, and this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7. Fiji water really is Earth's finest water, and since 2022, its 330-milliliter and 500-milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic, so you can feel proud of your choice in bottled water. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up today for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office. It's not just water. It's Fiji water.
Dress, the History of Fashion, is a production of Dress Media. With over 8 billion people in the world, we all have one thing in common. Every day, we all get dressed.
Welcome to Dressed, the History of Fashion. A podcast that explores the who, what, when of why we wear. We are fashion historians and your hosts, Cassidy Zachary
and April Callahan. It is our first listener mail episode of 2024. And Cass, I really sincerely cannot believe this, but I went back and I looked and I was like, when was the last time we did a listener mail episode? And it's been almost an entire year since we, quote unquote, opened up our mail on the podcast.
Yeah. And it's already the middle of 2024, which is just insane to me. It's June now. Mm-hmm. So the year is already flying by. It is long overdue, as you said. So excited to hear from you always. Thank you to all of you, our listeners. You're the reason we do what we do. You reach out so often to us. And we've said this so many times in this show, and we'll say it again just to express our appreciation. And to let you know that we actually do read all of your messages.
We do.
But it's just the two of us running this operation. We get dozens of emails a day. We get a lot of emails, and we cannot respond individually to each and every one, unfortunately, although we would really, really like to. So please, please keep sending us your emails. Know you are appreciated, and we do our very best to get back to you when we can. Or, and we will try to do these more frequently, include your emails in this listener mail roundup.
Yes. And also our DMs, too. We are the ones reading the DMs that you send us as well. So keep reaching out to us there as well. And to be honest, it actually pains my heart a little bit when I know that I'm not going to get back to some of your messages and also get everything that we do off of our plate for the week. And you know, a lot of times it's really like this juggling act each week to produce our two new episodes for each week. And then, of course, you all know that we're expanding into all these new realms, our class offerings, and expanding our trips and tours. So this reminds me, Cass, you have a class that is open for registration now.
My class, What Women Wore to the Revolution, 1930s to the 1960s, starts June 23rd. Would love to see you. And also, we have added a second week to our Fashion History Tour of Paris, which will be October 12th through the 19th, with the caveat that we do have to have 15 people to sign up to move forward with that trip. Yes. If that person is you, please head to dresshistory.com/tours and sign up now. We would love to see you in Paris. And speaking of making things happen, April, listeners, might we start off by congratulating listener Lisa Brathwaite, who wrote to us recently to say, I am catching up on my podcast as I prepare for my daughter's high school graduation this evening, and I nearly fell out of my chair when your Fashion History Books for Kids episode, which was on April 26th, started playing. Lisa writes that I'm the author of a children's picture book biography about an influential woman in fashion history and Black culture who created the iconic Ebony Fashion Fair. And in parentheses, she says that Pat Cleveland has spoken about being an Ebony Fashion Fair model as a guest on previous Dressed episodes. And Lisa continues, I had to reach out and share Miles of Style, Eunice W. Johnson, and the Ebony Fashion Fair with you. It's published by Lee and Lowe Books and illustrated by Lynn Gaines. I've linked a PDF copy of the book here. It was deeply researched, so the fact that it has been well-received by children and adults alike since its debut this past February 6th has been very gratifying. I hope you'll enjoy it too and consider adding it to your online bookshelf. Thank you for all your consideration and all you pour into making Dress engaging and informative for all us fashion history enthusiasts. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Yes, this is wonderful. And I must say, you got it, because Miles of Style is now up on our Dress bookshelf at bookshop.org. And of course, we will also put a link to it in our show notes as well. And had we known about your book, Lisa, we certainly would have included it in our recent episode on fashion history titles for children. And so sincerely, thank you for letting us know about your book. And Cass, this is a prime example of how we depend on our listeners sometimes to keep us abreast on little fashion history tidbits and fashion history now tidbits that we miss because we simply cannot summon them all.
Yes, absolutely. There's a whole world out there. And I was so excited when this email came through. I think you and I both flagged it because Eunice is such an incredibly pivotal figure in the history of fashion. And Lisa, of course, she mentioned Pat Cleveland, who's been on the show twice and has spoken to us, as Lisa mentioned, about her early years modeling for the Ebony Fashion Fair. So we'll also link to Pat's episodes. And we'll also link to the episode we did on the Ebony Fashion Fair. So curator Joy Bivens joined us back in 2019 to discuss the Ebony Fashion Fair's 50-year history. It accompanied an exhibition that was at the, I believe, the Chicago History Museum, and they had a lot of the pieces from the Ebony Fashion Fair. So that was really incredible. In April, this also reminded me that another past Dress guest, curator and dress historian Amy DeLahaye, reached out after our Fashion History Books for Kids episode.
Yes.
And I don't know if you saw this comment, but she let us know that she also wrote a children's book on fashion history, Clara Button and the Magical Hat Day, which is illustrated by Emily Sutton. And it narrates Clara's first fashion museum encounter in the Victorian and Albert Museum's Dress Gallery and Costumes collection. So we will definitely link to that in our bookshelf, as well as to Amy's episode on dress, which was on her exhibition at FIT, The Rose in Fashion.
Yes, and I think that exhibition catalog is already on our bookshelf. So we will add Amy's children's wear title as well. Okay, speaking of past episodes, Cass, a few weeks ago, we aired an episode that was recorded live as part of a sustainability conference produced by Project Threadways, which is a not-for-profit educational initiative produced in conjunction or by the ethical brand Alabama Channon. And we received more than a few queries from our listeners after this episode. So there's a couple of them here that I'm going to get to. But the first one comes from listener Anne D., who wrote to us saying, "Hi, I love learning about sustainable clothing made in the U.S. I just looked up Alabama Channon. The clothes are beautiful, and I completely understand their price point. But a cotton shirt at $350 is not where I am right now. I'm sure you have covered it, and if I've missed it, but can you give us a couple suggestions of companies in the U.S. where I might get a cotton t-shirt for under $100? Thanks so much. Love the podcast." And of course, what she's meaning here, cotton t-shirt for under $100, she's referring to something that's sustainably and ethically made.
That is a little bit more affordable, right? So
yes.
Actually, and another listener, Heather M., echoed your sentiments about the price of affordable options for ethical and sustainable clothes on a teacher's salary. She wrote to us and said, quote, "I am an elementary school librarian." She teaches grades 3, 4, and 5. And she says, "I've used information from a podcast more than once in our research lessons, not to mention adding books you suggest to my own collection, which I also then use in lesson creation. Thank you. I have also been really excited by the growing conversation about fast fashion, an issue I've long been concerned about. Quote, buy it well, buy it once was my own mother's advice, and I've carried it on. I do not buy cheap clothes, and what I do buy, I often mend. I know nothing good comes cheap, I get that, and I'm not opposed to thinking about my wardrobe as an investment, both in terms of what it gives to me as my outward-facing image, but also in terms of the world it helps build by sustaining the maker. And I often simply can't even begin to afford the options out there." So this is a real concern.
Yes. And we hear you, listeners, because cost of sustainable, ethically made fashion is something that comes up every single time we talk about this topic on the podcast, or maybe even when we post something about it. People always say, okay, so I can't spend this much money. What am I supposed to do? First of all, the hard fact of the matter is that paying appropriate wages to manufacture ethically is always going to cost more than fast fashion. So something being comparable, you just have to throw that idea out the window. And that is because fast fashion is produced to the detriment of its own workers, almost always, who are often paid poverty wages, if not working sometimes in forced labor conditions. And I mentioned this on the show a few months ago. Cass, you will remember, but Shein's desire to go public on the U.S. stock market was actually blocked legally because there's pending allegations of modern-day slavery practices at some of Shein's suppliers in China. So please just know that every time you decide to buy that $5 t-shirt versus like a $35 version similar elsewhere that's not necessarily fast fashion, you might just be funding egregious human rights abuses and suppliers that are using unpaid workers.
Yeah, and I just want to say also too, and this is something we've talked about in the show, just because you're paying more money for a shirt does not necessarily mean it's ethical or sustainable.
It doesn't.
So you really do have to do your research. And I will say before I go in with my next suggestion that a very viable option is always secondhand. You can thrift t-shirts for $5 if cost is an issue to you. And you can also go to places like Poshmark. So if you don't want to pay, you know, that $300 price, is it available on the RealReal or on Poshmark or on eBay? So those are definitely viable options. But there are options with ethical retailers. And April and I have talked about this many times. And our go-to for affordable, ethically made garments is Everlane. With the mission of keeping the earth cool and clean, doing right by people, and by implementing extensive planning on how to do better in the future, Everlane is one of the brands that is leading the way in how to do mass production better. So they practice something called radical transparency in terms of their business practices. And so much information is available on their website in terms of providing information on their materials, productions, and rates of pay for their workers, 100% of which are paid over the legal minimum wage for their locations.
Yes. And once you start to unpack their sustainability platform on their website, it's kind of mind-blowing. In my book, Cass, if you are not in the position to work one-on-one with a sustainable maker in your own community, which would be our number one preference, and you do need to purchase affordably, you know, new garments from a larger brand online in a large range of sizes, Everlane is my top pick. And I will just say that I also buy from them occasionally when I'm in need of something new that I can't necessarily source on the vintage market. They should also be sponsoring our show. So we need to reach out to them about that, I think. You and I keep saying this. They're the perfect sponsor for us, honestly.
Yes. And on that same note, you know who will never be sponsoring Dressed, even though they keep trying time and time again? Shein.
So many times. So I'm like, do you even listen to the show? Do you know how often we trash you?
Yeah.
Dress listeners, whatever your reason for wanting to learn a new language, whether it's an upcoming international adventure, communicating with your friends and family abroad, or even professional purposes, Rosetta Stone has got you covered.
As the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years now, you can join millions of Rosetta Stone users to learn any of the 25 languages offered. That includes Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and so many more.
And this is fast language acquisition, friends. There are no English translations, so you learn to speak, listen, and think in your new language. And right now, you can get lifetime access to all 25 of Rosetta Stone's language courses for 50% off. That's language learning for 25 languages for the rest of your life, which, Cass, is frankly amazing.
It is. And what are you waiting for, Dress listeners? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Dress listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Dress listeners, did you know that you can save on everything from fashion to beauty, home decor to groceries, even kids' school supplies with Rakuten?
Rakuten is a shopping platform that partners with over 3,500 stores across every category. Beauty, clothing, electronics, home, department stores, pets, you name it. You're already shopping at your favorite stores, so why not be saving while doing it? It really is a no-brainer.
How does it work, you ask? Well, stores pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members. You get paid via a check or PayPal quarterly.
Membership is free, and it's easy to sign up. So join the 17 million members who have already saved at their favorite brands. Start all your shopping at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app to start saving today. Your cash back really adds up. That's Rakuten.com. Dress listeners, are you not feeling like yourself these days? Do you suspect it might be related to some of the hormonal changes all women experience? Well, then Hormone Harmony is here for you. Hormone Harmony capsules contain science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows.
So whether you find yourself in menopause, perimenopause, or simply experiencing racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, or even a low sex drive, Hormone Harmony is here to get you feeling like yourself again.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DRESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DRESSED for 15% off today.
And according to a recent study sent to us by our listener, History Collie, on Instagram, Shein has been producing children's wear containing toxic substances staggeringly higher than legally permitted. So if human rights isn't keeping you from buying fast fashion, and sustainability isn't keeping you from buying fast fashion, maybe it's that fact that you're wearing toxic chemicals on your body, and not just your body, but you're putting them on your children's body, because fast fashion is absolutely detrimental to the fashion workers, to the globe, and also to you and your family's health.
Yes. And this kind of like latest bit of news comes from South Korea, because concerned with the safety of their own citizens, the city of Seoul has been conducting safety inspections on Shein products that have been entering the country because they're on the rise. And they're especially paying attention to the ones produced for children. Out of two pairs of children's shoes in this bunch of eight different products, one pair of shoes tested for nearly 200% higher than the legal limits of formaldehyde. And the other pair tested, get this, 428% higher than permitted for phthalate plasticizers, which according to the Korea Times, these plasticizers potentially affect human reproductive functions because they interrupt the endocrine production or functionality. So I'm just saying, Cass, I don't think that there's any parent out there that's going to prioritize a kind of crappy pair of cheap shoes for their kids. They're going to outgrow them in a couple months anyway. They're not going to prioritize these shoes over the potential of never even being given grandchildren. So just know when you buy from these companies like Shein, you don't always know what you're getting. And let us tell you again, someone is paying the price if the cost is that low. Is it the workers? Is it you? It might be your health. Big question mark.
Yeah. And I will just say, I mean, I have a toddler. He's two and he wears almost primarily secondhand clothing because, yes, they grow out of it so quickly. And there's fantastic, very gently used clothes at your local thrift store. So definitely, definitely check that out.
And lots of children's wear sites online too, including ones with like super high-end designer children's wear stuff that's like barely worn.
Yes. So this article actually goes on to discuss how the City of Seoul's testing program has extended to Chinese imports from other companies like Temu and Alibaba Express, which reveal that 43% of the items listed contain toxic substances. So you basically have a 50-50 chance of that garment you order from sites like these being detrimental to your health. And I also want to say one thing that I don't think we talk enough about on the show too, is that synthetic fibers like polyester, etc., it's made from oil. So you're wearing oil clothes. There's just so many things. This shouldn't be surprising coming from us, trust listeners, but we just want everybody to be more conscious and healthy.
Better yet, just start checking the fiber content of your purchases. It's always great to stick with natural fibers, preferably organic when you can. And this actually brings me to our next listener mail. Recently, Lorelai E. wrote to us with an episode request. She wrote, "I would love to hear about America's history of fabric choices. How did the slave trade affect the cost of cotton versus growing linen or hemp? What is the history behind why we don't grow those two crops, even though we were..." And then I'm assuming she means wearing linen for centuries. Did we even wear hemp? So, Lorelai, I'm not going to answer that question for you now because there is an upcoming episode that, you know, promises to address your query. It's already in the works. I've already chatted with the potential guest. And it looks like this is going to be coming your way in the fall. So thank you for your request. We received it. And stay tuned.
Yes. And in the meantime, you can actually check out one of our past episodes, which is called History is Rarely Black and White, Fashion Storytelling with Jason Cyrus and Anne-Marie Garant. They both joined us in 2021 in a discussion about the complex histories quite literally woven into the cotton garments we have worn historically. And it was actually the subject of an exhibition at that time, History is Rarely Black or White, at Ontario's Agnes Etherington Art Centre. And the exhibit, quote, interrogates cotton garments in the Queen's Collection of Canadian Dress through archival research and scientific analysis that connects these materials to resource extraction, Indigenous displacement, and slave labor, and the Underground Railroad. So Jason is a fashion curator and Anne-Marie is a conservator. And this exhibition was so cool in that they used new scientific technologies to analyze the cotton in historic garments. So they took very small samples from these garments from like the 1820s, 1830s, and linked them to the slave trade in America. By studying that cotton, they were able to extract the DNA and find out where that cotton was grown. So Brits are out there thinking, oh, slavery is not legal here. We're not connected to the slave trade. But in fact, if you wore cotton in that period, you absolutely were. So this was a new frontier of an exhibition and fashion curatorial and conservation practice. So I really, really hope we'll see more of this type of work in the future. So check that episode out as well.
Yeah, more and more fashion exhibitions are starting to incorporate technology in really, really interesting ways. Okay, so for those of you who have asked us many times for transcriptions of the show, we do get those requests from time to time, like our listener Jody P., who recently wrote to us, "Hello, I have a language school in France, and one of my clients will be launching a new line of swimwear in order to provide her overall level of comprehension. I wanted to find a high-quality podcast on fashion history and found yours. I love it. I haven't used it with my client yet because it is beyond her level. Do you happen to have script available, TED Talk style? Thank you."
April and I have actually been wanting to incorporate this into our content for a really long time because we really want to make the show as accessible to as many people as possible. And it looks like we are actually getting a little bit of support on this front from Apple Podcasts. For those of you with Apple devices and listening via Apple Podcasts, you will soon be able to see transcripts of the show if your device is updated to iOS 17.4 or higher. We're still tinkering with what things look like on our end, but this promises to be coming in the next couple of weeks for our newly released episodes. So we will keep you tuned on that front.
Yeah, so it's not just fashion exhibitions that's incorporating all types of new technology. Apparently, it's your favorite fashion history podcast as well. And this is really one of the amazing things that AI has made available to us in recent months. There's lots of cool tools out there now for us podcasters, courtesy of AI. There's surely more down the pipeline. Dress listeners, I think that does it for us this week. May you consider how advancements in technology show up in your closet next time you get dressed. Remember, we love hearing from you, so if you'd like to write to us, you can do so at hello@dressedhistory.com.
You can also find us on our website, which is dressedhistory.com, which is where you will find information on any of our upcoming classes, trips, and tours, including my new class open for registration, What Women Wore to the Revolution, 1930s to the 1960s, where we will be tracking the evolution and revolution of women's lives and the clothes they wore across four of the most exciting and iconic eras in the history of fashion. So you have the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and the 60s. And I've added a book club component to this course that is free with registration. So I'm really, really excited. And it starts June 23rd.
Yay! Also, if you find yourself in New York City, or if you live in New York City, come join me at the Metropolitan Museum of Art for 90-minute explorations of art and fashion history. I take you to some of the most hidden recesses of the Met in search of 10 of the museum's most fashionable masterpieces in the permanent collection. And you can learn more about my tours when they're available and register at dressedhistory.com.
And speaking of tourist dress listeners, we are in the process of working on a fall, or actually I guess it would be late summer, New York day tours again. We've got Sleeping Beauty up at the Met. We have, you know, the Thriving Garment District tours. We have FIT, Statement Sleeves. I mean, there's so much fashion history happening. We just had to bring it to you with us. So stay tuned for that. And we have now added a second week to the Paris tour, October 12th through the 19th. There is a caveat, though. We have to fill up at least 15 spots. So if that person is you or someone you know, please join us in fall in Paris. We are so, so excited. You can find all the details on the itinerary and how to sign up at our website, dressedhistory.com/tours. And dress listeners, did you know that you can listen to the show ad-free for just $3 a month? Subscribe to the exclusive content version of the show, which is ad-free. You can click on the link in our show notes to do so. As always, thank you so much for your continued support. More Dressed coming your way next week. Dressed, the History of Fashion, is a production of Dressed Media.
During the summer, I love to keep Fiji water on hand to keep me and my family hydrated and refreshed. It really is sourced from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji water collects in a sustainable ancient aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. As the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium water bottle brands, giving Fiji water its soft, smooth taste. Unlike some other premium bottled waters, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring, and this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7. Fiji water really is Earth's finest water, and since 2022, its 330-milliliter and 500-milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic, so you can feel proud of your choice in bottled water. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up today for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office. It's not just water, it's Fiji water.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.